Well, John, it's that time. Semper Reformanda. Here we are. We can, quote unquote, let our hair down, as apparently we did with the Babylon Bee guys. That's what I saw on social media anyway.
Man, I'd love to hear it. We didn't get to hear that. Their members thought, I should go subscribe so we can hear it. We didn't get to hear
it.
Yeah,
I didn't hear it either.
It was pretty, that section got pretty spicy. That was fun.
I can't remember what all we talked about other than the 10 questions.
Yeah. So yeah. It was good.
Anyway.
It was good. And then
Did we say crazy things?
I just remember it being a lot of laughing and a lot of fun because they got into some more like dispensational end time stuff at the end.
Sure.
So, you know, they interviewed the guy, the producers who made a couple of Christian movies. And so it was just interesting. I listened to about two or three minutes of it. The football movie with Kurt Warner. I mean, did you ever watch that movie? Underdog, I think that's what it's called.
No.
Anyways. No. So there's a new movie coming out.
I don't like.
I know. Just to, I
admit,
I know.
I don't like sports movies. I don't like Christian movies.
I'm with you.
And so I certainly don't like sports movies that are Christian. Yeah. That sounds terrible for me to say as a Christian man.
Listen, I watched it because my mom wanted me to. And listen, it wasn't painful, but I wouldn't watch it again.
So in other words, the last movie that I would ever see, that I would only see if I was paid handsomely to do so, is... what's it called? Facing the Giants or something? Like, I would just not do it.
That was horrible. Anyway, so there's a new movie about kind of like the Calvary Chapel movement, but specifically with, I can't think of his name right now, Harvest Guy. Anyways, I don't know why I'm there. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about our subject.
I think you wanted to burn theonomy down.
I did. I did want to burn theonomy down.
That's what you said.
Listen, for it. I'm just going to say some stuff here that's coming. I won't say it like this in the regular episode, and I'm going to do state for those of you SR members. We are working hard, Lord willing. Listen, don't hold us to this. If this falls flat,
like Rihanna said, this is what you came for. This content right here is what you came for, to hear this from John.
If this falls flat on our face, we're trying. We're trying to start a thing called Theocast U, where like Justin does lectures once a couple of times a month. I do them at my church, and then we are going to do some for Theocast. So we're going to put those all in a lecture. It's called an LMS, Learning Management System, and so you'll be able to go in there and just go through and learn those. So be patient with us. We have a team that's working on it. But I am going to do probably a two-hour class on theonomy. And because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
That's why I'm doing it. Yeah.
Now, I'll take theonomy down now.
That's right. I'll take a shot now. I'll take a shot at theonomy.
So this is what I wanted to say. Not everyone, but there is a tenor. There is a attitude that comes from theonomists. They're bullies. And basically, they put their foot on your throat and basically say, if you don't understand and embrace the law of God like I do, you basically are an antinomian, and you don't care about the holiness of God. And it's obnoxious and it's not godly. And listen, if theonomist wants to believe in theonomy, that's fine, but this bullying that's happening, it's at a level that's just, you know, it's hard to debate theonomists because they use these debate tactics where it's what I would call it's forceful. In other words, you can't have a meaningful conversation with them because if you don't agree with them, I'll just say this now. This is the first time I've commented on this publicly, but Jeff Durbin took
And Jeff Durbin's Apologia Radio.
Apologia Radio. Many of you sent it to me. Someone posted it in the group, and a lot of you guys.
I mean, they've been around for a while.
Yeah, but he has not been a theonomist for a while. I mean, that's new.
Well, he's been post-mill for a minute.
Yeah, but not a theonomist. James White's not been a theonomist. As a matter of fact, I was listening.
He's an even more recent convert.
I was listening to a podcast where he was criticizing theonomy, like 2 years ago.
Sure.
So
anyway, I could make a comment.
Yeah, but my point of it is that we are going to engage in them, but I am trying to learn all of their tactics. Because sometimes when you debate people, you have to hear what they're saying, not So in other words, they're reading Rush Dooney, they're reading Bonson, they're reading all of these older guys, and then they're adjusting it. And so I can't go read Rush Dooney and Bonson and say this is what you believe, because that's actually not what they're doing. Now, I have read them, and I am engaging in them, so I understand the history of it. But what's complicated is that they are adjusting it. And so I want to hear what they're saying. I hate being misrepresented. What was funny about the Apologia podcast is that I was describing theonomy, and they were criticizing me for it. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. All I was saying is this is historically what has been taught, and I was very accurate in what I was saying. And what's hard about it is that they assume disagreement to be misrepresentation. And so when you're arguing with people about this kind of stuff, it can be complicated. And I don't want to take it personal. I don't think they were taking a personal shot at me. I just think that they were, you know, trying to create some clarity. But my reply to this is, for those of you who are feeling that pressure, because I know some of you might be even in a church that's promoting theonomy, respond with grace and respond with patience, but don't let that bullying manipulate you into thinking that there's something wrong. Listen, the reformers have been teaching the three uses of the law and the threefold division of the law for hundreds of years. Theonomy has not been around that long, okay? So we can calm down a little bit and say, okay, this is new. threefold division of the law, even, three uses of the law is not new.
The uses of the law is big. The threefold division of the law, or the tripartite division of the law, is even bigger when it comes to this theonomic perspective, this theonomy conversation. I could make comments about theonomy that I don't think I want to make at this present moment, just because I don't want to say things that I have not fully thought out, and I don't want to be reactionary.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting observation to make that, you know, even in the case of Jeff Durbin, as we understand it, guy's been post-mill for a while, and now that's become full-blown theonomy.
Yeah.
James White becoming a theonomist, these kinds of things. I agree with everything you said about the rhetoric in the public square. The question is raised, right? Like, why now, guys? You know, and so that's a thing. Is the tail wagging the dog? We could ask that. I think in general, an observation I would make, it's generally not helpful for Christians in the church to interact with the posture that you described about some of these guys who would hold to a theonomic perspective in terms of how they dialogue regarding the law, where it's like, if you don't see the law of God the way I do, that's basically just because you're squishy and you're soft and you have bowed the knee to the culture, you've acquiesced, and you basically are either an antinomian or you're just weak.
Liberal.
And you're afraid to make a, you're a liberal, or you're afraid to make a stand, or it's just about your own comfort. And it's like, yeah, that's not a great way to engage.
No.
Because one thing that we've talked about, at least some on Theocast, we may need to talk about more related to this issue, is a robust understanding of Christian freedom and Christian liberty and what that means. First of all, it's freedom from death, condemnation, sin, hell, the enemy, all that first. And then there's also good conversations to be had about the liberty we have as Christians to make wisdom decisions. If the conscience is not bound by the scripture and by the law of God proper, then we have freedom in Christ to make the decisions that seem wise to us.
Yeah.
And we've got to be able to operate that way in local churches. We need to be able to operate that way in dealing with brothers and sisters outside of our local churches. And so this posture that's so black and white, and this posture that effectively says, you know, I'm the one that takes the law of God seriously. I'm the one who's trying to live out the law of God. I'm the one who's going to stand on the wall and take the shots, and I'm unashamed. Implication, you are none of that.
Yeah.
It's just not great.
Yeah.
And so that's one word to you guys. I trust our listenership is not generally that kind of person, but
yeah. No, it's one of those things where I was talking with someone the other day and they're like, this is not a big deal. Like, I don't know why you're studying all this. And I'm like,
yeah, it's a big deal.
Maybe I'm a nerd in my head.
Well,
you know, and it's a big deal in the conservative Reformed Baptist and conservative Reformed Presbyterian world.
Yeah.
And it's going to become a bigger deal because the news is picking up on it. They're starting to use words like Christian nationalism. You've got books being published on it.
Well, what I was about to say there too, to your
point,
I don't mean to interject too much here, but I had a conversation recently with a member in our church who was like, making a comment about a conversation that he had had with someone else that he knew in another city. And this guy had said to him, this man in particular was doing some work on Christian nationalism and made the comment to the member of our church that, like, man, Christian nationalism is about to be a big deal. I mean, it's about to be a big controversy.
Yeah, it is.
And the guy that's a member of our church was like, man, I just, you know, I don't know that I am aware of that. And that just wasn't on my radar screen. And, you know, that's kind of surprising to me. And I said, nah, I mean, I agree with your friend, man. I mean, I think Christian nationalism is going to be one of the next big controversies amongst evangelicals. And it's going to be a real line in the sand. Another one. I mean, there seems to be one of these that pops up about every 18 to 24 months, but this is going
to
be the
It seems to pop up during election time. Like right now, it's like we're ramping up to get the next Christian president is what this is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we need God's man in the White House. So, I think this is going to be a big deal, and I think whether we want to or not, pastors are going to need to be educated on this matter.
That's right.
And congregants are going to need to be somewhat informed on this matter as well, or we're going to be prone to be led astray.
Yeah.
And I mean, just to maybe land the plane here with a more positive emphasis, rather than a caution against theonomy, I think I would say that one of the good things that we talked about with Chris in the portion of the conversation on the regular episode this week is what exactly we are called to preach. And we're not trying to just, again, Christianize the nations and preach the law in that sense. We're to preach Christ and Him crucified. We're to preach the law so that sinners would be brought to the end of themselves for righteousness. And then, yes, we do preach the law in its third use to guide the Christian. We've talked a lot about those things on Theocast. But we're preaching the need of the sinner. We're preaching deliverance from wrath and the condemnation of the law. We're preaching a righteousness that Christ accomplishes. And if we are ever losing sight of that main emphasis, if that's not the tincture, the tone and tenor and the warp and the woof, all those old words of our preaching, we're wrong.
Yeah.
And we preach Him, man, and we seek to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified in the pulpit.
Yeah.
And that's not to be reductionistic. No. That's to be biblical.
Well, right? One of the new taglines that we embraced later last year was clarifying the gospel and reclaiming the purpose of the kingdom, because theonomy changes, in my opinion, it starts to change and mess with the gospel, and it definitely messes with the purpose of the Christian life and the kingdom. The kingdom becomes earthbound, for sure.
Of course it does. I mean, it becomes incredibly earthbound. It's about transforming the common kingdom of the world. And inevitably, in this whole conversation about theonomy, we're going to get more into two kingdom stuff, and we may have to take on the charges of like R2K, radical two kingdoms views, and clarify what two kingdoms is, what two kingdoms isn't. And I'm sure all of that's coming your way as a listener this year, because we want to keep just talking about Christ and the gospel and law and gospel and covenant theology, but we also want to speak to ways in which clutter is thrown on top of all that and ways in which Christ is obscured. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective, theonomy is one of those things that obscures the person and work of Jesus Christ and confuses Christians who mean well.
That's right.
Well-meaning saints are led astray by things like theonomy.
That's right.
And we don't want to see that happen.
That's right.
John, anything else from you,
Brian? No, just you're right. There is more coming, and very passionate about this. I'll just say this to you guys, because, man, you guys, you have no idea how much you encourage us when you message us and you email us. And, you know, Justin and I are extremely thankful for you. We got to meet some of you in California, and that was a joy. Mm-hmm. It was almost like a reunion, but I've never met you. But it was like this, there was a kindredness there that was really kind of sweet. So that was fun. And I definitely look forward to doing some kind of a gathering or a conference or something like that soon. But my encouragement to you is that you may feel like what you're contributing is insignificant, but it's not. It really helps us. And we're frail men who are weak, and we need your support. And your constant prayers for us is encouraging. And your words of kindness and then your support. Just please know that we do not take that lightly. We're very thankful for you. And that's it.
No, amen. I echo everything that John said, but I will not repeat it for the sake of your time, because we value that as well. We look forward to talking with you guys again next week on SR.
Amen. See you soon.
Grace and peace. Bye.